All right. You have your Bibles. Will you turn to the book of Luke with me? If you'd like to stand this morning. Luke chapter 12, verse number 16. Luke 12:16. The Bible said he spake a parable of them saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night, let that make an indelible impression in your mind, totally oblivious to the fact that his time was over. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Brother Robert Gibson, lead us in prayer. Do what you want to do in this house. Do it any way you want to do it, Lord. What you want to do. We're here before thee, your God, and there's none beside you. Holy One. Service is not going to be a usual service.
Glory, 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 glory.
I've carried this all week.
Yes.
And now I'm going to give you what the Lord put on the heart. Let me say this to you right now. You're not in this house by accident. There's a reason for you hearing what you're going to hear now. There's a reason for it. And I want you to think very seriously about what's being said and about your future. Because everything today that we say in this house has been said. God forbid that it be anything but the Word of God. In the book of Luke chapter number 12, the rich man dies. The book of Luke chapter number 16, the rich man died. The Bible said it is appointed to men once to die and then the judgment. There's one thing you can be certain about this morning. Make no mistake about it. It is inevitable. There's not one thing you can do about it. Your days are numbered on this earth. One thing Satan can do to keep you occupied, to keep you preoccupied, to keep your mind constantly on trafficking, buying, selling, living, whatever else that occupies your time and your mind 24/7, he will do that. Make no mistake that he will keep your mind occupied to where you don't think about where you're going when you leave this world. Eternity is forever. You're living a temporal life. You breathe in, you breathe out. Your heart beats and the blood courses through your body. But your body will cease to live one of these days. That's something you need to come to grips with today. Some of you live in denial. You think, I'm young and I'll never die. Some of you think, well, medical science will find an answer for whatever problem that I have. So you put off and put off and put off and put off the inevitable. But the inevitable will catch up with you one day. Death has much patience. Make no mistake about that. It will come upon every last one of us in this house today. This physical body that we live in will cease to exist. It will cease to live on the face of this earth. And so the rich man's time ran out. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here 2,000 years ago, preached more about eternity and hell than anybody that ever walked this earth. That is undeniable. There is no way that you can read the New Testament and deny what the Lord Jesus said. I counted 35 different times that he mentioned something that relates to either death or destruction or judgment or the coming judgment of the hereafter. And the whole point of all of that is to prepare you for what lies beyond the grave. He used words like fire. He used words like everlasting fire, eternal damnation, hellfire, damnation, the damnation of hell, the resurrection of damnation, furnace of fire, the fire that never shall be quenched, the fire that is not quenched, where their worm dieth not, wailing and gnashing of teeth, weeping and gnashing of teeth, torments, torments in this flame, place of torment, outer darkness, everlasting punishment. These are the terms the Lord Jesus Christ used. My friend, there's no way that you can misunderstand these. This is not metaphorical speech. This is speech that speaks directly to something that lies beyond the grave. There are those who laugh and scorn and mock and say, you're a fool. You die like a dog. You take your last breath. You're soon forgotten and it's all over with. And they bury your body and you're in oblivion and that's all there is to it. But how do you know that? I'm going to ask you a question this morning. You're a logical man or a woman. You're a thinker. You tell me how you know that. You tell me how that you know there is nothing beyond the grave, since we have an abundance of overwhelming evidence that tells us there is something beyond the grave. For in the medical science today, the ability to resuscitate, they'll call it out-of-body experiences or near-death experiences, they abound. If you get on the internet and begin to check into medical science, you'll find out that cardiologists that spend their days dealing with people, some of them dropping dead in their very sight, are resuscitating these people. And my, do they have stories to tell. If it was only a story, you might say to yourself, well, you know, anybody can create a story. But how do you explain the fact that these people leave their bodies and can explain in detail what was done to them while they were supposedly clinically dead? So this morning, I'm going to spend just a little bit of time with you. By the grace of God, I'll try to get your attention. I hope you will listen to what I have to say. Maurice Rawlings was in this church a few years ago. He's a cardiologist, or was, in Chattanooga. 2 years ago, Maurice Rawlings went home to be with the Lord. He was an agnostic, an atheist, did not believe in God. He did not believe in a hereafter. He was so-called scientific. He based everything that he did or believed upon empirical truth, as they call it. Something that could be displayed or could be checked out under a microscope or could be proven or theoretically what have you. And so Maurice Rawlings was that kind of man. He was a logical, rational thinker, but he could not deny what was happening before his very eyes. People were coming back and had stories to tell, and they were blood-curdling stories. Let me give you just a little bit of what one man said. He screamed and said, "Don't stop, don't stop. I'm in hell, I'm in hell. Don't stop. Do you understand? Every time you stop, I'm in hell." Maurice Rawlings heard enough of that, so he went home and brushed off his Bible and began to read it, and he got saved by the grace of God. Amen. Another cardiologist by the name of Dr. Michael Sebaum. Michael Sebaum in Atlanta, Georgia. He in 1994 did what's called the Atlanta Study. And in that, he, as Maurice Rawlings, a cardiologist. How many of you know what a cardiologist is? I do. I learned firsthand what a cardiologist is. A cardiologist is the man that shocked my heart and got it back into rhythm. He's the man you go to when you have a heart problem. And I know what a cardiologist is. And thank God I've got a good one. This man, Michael Sebaum, he did his own study. Here's what he did. Listen carefully. He said, "I got tired of hearing these people when they come back and I shock them, or we bring them back or resuscitate them." He said, "I got tired of hearing their hallucinations, their stories about heaven and about hell and all of that stuff." He was an agnostic or an atheist, as you know, as they usually are. He said, "I got tired of hearing all of that." He said, so I did my own study. He said, "I took 36 of them that had out-of-body experiences and took 26 of them that did not have any experience like that. And let them tell me, if in their own words, what happened in the room when they were resuscitated. He said the 26 that had not had an out-of-body experience missed completely. Had no idea. Wild shot in the dark. They had no idea what was going on. He said, but the 36 that had the out-of-body experience, he said they could tell me in detail what was happening inside the room. They could tell me the tools that I used. They could describe them. When they were clinically dead and I was working on their body, they told me things there's no way they could have known. He had a patient by the name of Pam Reynolds. He did something with her that's seldom ever done. She had an aneurysm in her brain. And so what they did was this. They literally drained the blood out of her brain. They literally put her to death, if you please. All electrical impulses were missing from the brain. She was lying there in what you might call a dead coma. And so they went in and worked on her brain, repaired the aneurysm, and then they brought her back. But here's the thing. When they brought Pam Reynolds back from wherever she had been, she described to them, and now listen, this woman has a flat brain wave, everything's flat, clinically dead. She explained to them what they did in the room, told them about the tools they used, about who came and who went in that room while she was lying there in a dead coma. That got his attention. That got the doctor's attention. And do you know what? He's a Christian now. Michael Sabam, this cardiologist, look him up on the internet. It's called the Atlanta Study. Look him up. He's still alive. Call him up. Ask him. If you're a great skeptic today and you believe you die like a dog and there's nothing beyond the grave, why don't you check into it and hear what this man has to say when he tells you about what lies beyond in that world, in that land that is fairer than day. See, everybody doesn't go to the same place. Some come back screaming. And for example, Maurice Rawlings tells the story of another one. And this man was an atheist. He was a professional. And he said he didn't believe in God, but he came down to the hour of death. He came down to the moment when his life left his body. And do you know what he said? He said, I went into a dark pit, and he said, I was terrorized. He said, terror flooded over my soul like I had never known in my life. To cut it short, I want you to understand, you're going to come down to a time when you stop breathing. You're going to come down to a time when your heart stops. You're going to come to the end of your natural life on this earth, and you're going to be prepared or you're not going to be prepared. And if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't be prepared. You won't be prepared. And let me tell you something. Don't kid yourself. Death is coming to the human body, the body that you're alive in right now, and death will take your soul either to heaven or to hell. Which one will it be? Where are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to go? The Bible said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Aren't you glad for that? That's a promise of Scripture. Listen, some people never experience anything in their life that is traumatic, that's life-changing, that really gets their attention until the end, until it's time and it's too late then, until there's no time left, until they can't do anything. And they've said no to Christ. They've rejected him. They've hardened their heart. And let me tell you something. Let me talk to you this morning personally, if you're in here and you've hardened your heart. I came down close to death just a few days ago. And in all intent and purpose, I thought I was leaving this world. And I want to tell you, if you've never been there, you don't have a clue what that's like. You think you do. You think you do, but you don't. You don't have a clue. When the doctor looked at me and he said, your heart is weak, I got the impression from that man that my heart could stop at any moment. And if my heart stopped, then I'd be gone. Well, what did I do? Well, I got on my face and I gave my Lord Jesus Christ every breath that I breathe, everything that I do, everything about my life. And I tell him every day that I live, the first thing that comes out of my mouth in the morning when I wake up is, my life is in your hands. You have my life. And now has he begun to bless me? I felt when I come into this house, I can't explain it to you other than to say I just feel like there's just something all over me. It's like it's just running all over me. There's a presence in here that just literally, I can't explain it. I just want to sometimes explode because it's so powerful. What was going on in here this morning was very, very powerful. That's the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost, folks. If you're a good religious person, you still don't understand what that's about. You don't have a clue. But if you're born again, no matter how far backslidden you are, something began to move inside you. Something began to tell you that he showed up in this house today. That's the assurance. That's that guarantee. That's that proof that I know where I'm going when I leave this world. I know where I'm going. I pull the covers up over myself at night when I get in bed. I pull my covers up and I say, Lord, I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. What do you mean, preacher? I mean that I go to sleep like a baby. You wouldn't believe how I sleep, because if my life is in his hands, if I leave out of here at night, I'm gone. I'm gone, but I know where I'm going. That's confidence. I don't go to bed terrorized. I'm not scared to death. Maybe I'll drop right here in front of you behind this pulpit someday. Who knows? I don't know how I'm leaving here, but I know where I'm going. Do you have that? Do you really have that? Do you really know where you're going? Because if you don't, you're a fool. You're living in a fool's paradise. You're kidding yourself. Your faith and your assurance is in something that doesn't exist. This bravado, this the Bible calls it the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the world, and the pride of life. That pride of life sends more to hell than anything. It really does. You're invincible. Nothing will stop you. You're your own God. I mean, you're in charge of your destiny. Why, there is no God, you're God. So who is he to speak into my life? But the thing is, you will come down to a moment of weakness and death that you know nothing about, and you won't be ready, and you'll cry like a baby when that hour comes. Let me give you a little bit of stuff right here that you need to hear. How many of you have heard about the hole that they dug over there in Russia, down into the ground? And they were digging this hole. It's deep, deep, deep down into the earth. And when they had this microphone, and they lowered this microphone down into this hole. And these men lowered it down in there because they wanted to hear the moving of the rocks and the shale and, you know, some kind of a scientific survey. So they were lowering the microphone down to hear this. These seismologists and what are these, you know, the men that deal with this stuff. And they dropped it down in there, but what they heard was not what they wanted to hear. They pulled that thing back up out of there because they heard screaming. They heard human screaming. They heard screaming. They heard screaming in hell. The fellow who was in charge of this name is Dr. Azakov. Dr. Azakov, he's an atheist. He's a Russian communist atheist. Didn't believe in God. Didn't believe in heaven. Didn't believe in an eternity. Died like a dog. Take your last breath, it's over. But he said, I believe in hell now. Now you say, well, I've seen that story on the internet and I don't believe it's true. Well, you know something? I've seen the debunkers on the internet trying to debunk it and say it's not true, but they can't do it. I've done a lot of research into that right there. We've got the tape of the screams in hell. We've got the sound of it. Did you know that some scientific work has been done on those tapes? And they have said, well, if somebody did make this up, they did a good job because of the way the sounds blend and the screaming blends all on that tape in hell, screaming in hell. How many of you have ever heard of Jacques Cousteau? The undersea world of Jacques Cousteau. I grew up watching Jacques Cousteau. He's a famous man. Now, he's been gone for a few years, but he was a diver into the ocean, undersea, an underwater diver. He dove into a cave. He went into that cave one time. And when he came up out of that water, he was literally petrified. He had told people, he said, I've heard the screams of hell. This man who lived in the ocean never dove again the rest of his life. Some of his own men were in some kind of a diving bell, and they went down to the bottom of the Mariana Trench. That's the lowest point on earth. It's over 5 miles deep. They heard the same thing when they got to that point. They heard screaming in hell. Yeah. Now you say, well, now, preacher, I don't believe any of that. I don't believe any of it. Get on the internet and run it yourself and hear what the debunkers have to say. This is an example. Listen carefully. Here's an interview of an infidel website. These people are talking about Dr. Michael Sabam. Remember the one? The cardiologist in Atlanta who brought this girl, had this aneurysm, literally put her body to death. She explained all this out-of-body experience. Here's the way they deal with it. A medical investigation by Michael Sabam, Harper and Row, 1982. Sabam is a cardiologist, not a neurologist. And his flight into paranormal explanations probably derives from his inexperience in neurophysiology. Let me interpret that for you. He's not qualified. He's not qualified to comment on what he heard and what he saw. Here's a cardiologist now, top in his field, dealing with people coming back. And here's somebody that knows nothing about the man but says he's not a neurophysiologist. In plain words, he's not an expert in the brain. It all happens in the cortex or some part of the brain. That explains the hallucinations that people go through when they're supposed to have these out-of-body experiences. Not so. Not so. Not so. I saw a doctor the other day on television who was an atheist who went through the something similar to this, and he explained in detail how that the cortex of his brain was dead, inactive, completely inactive. And he had an out-of-body experience, and when he came back, believe it or not, he's a believer now. And I dare say the same thing for the neurophysiologist or whoever else wants to. Here's the bottom line. Do you know why you don't believe? You don't believe because the God of this world has blinded your minds to the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you don't believe. You don't believe based on scientific evidence. Oh, no, 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 no. And you certainly don't believe based on your own personal experience. You don't believe because you don't want to believe. Your scapegoat is rationalism, the natural mind, and denial. I don't live in denial. You do. But I beg you, in the name of Jesus. That's what all these people are shouting about in here this morning. Jesus died and was buried and rose again the third day so that you could be saved. He loves you. He died for you. He shed his precious blood for you to be saved. You don't have to come down to the hour of death, terrorized, full of fear, not knowing where you're going. You can come down to that moment. If we do, we may not, because the Lord may come back before that. But you can come down to that end of this physical life with full assurance and joy and say it as Paul did, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Or you can say it as Peter did, the Lord hath showed me how that I must shortly put off this my tabernacle. Pull it off. Lay it down with full victory and assurance. Why don't you do that? I beg you in the name of Jesus. I may be talking to somebody right here this morning. We'll be having your funeral this week. I beg you in the name of Jesus. There's just one Savior. There's only one name, and His name is Jesus. Would you accept Him? Would you receive Him? Would you receive Him? You want to be saved? Come down here. Somebody, come down here. Brother, come down. Come down here. We got some men that will come up here and pray with you right now. Amen. I knew in my heart that was going to happen. They're going to pray with you. Okay. No mistakes.
Yes, hallelujah.
No mistakes. He makes no mistakes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Deuteronomy 32. 22 through 25. Yeah, yeah, that is the first one. 22, for a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn to the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase, set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger, devoured with burning heat, and with bitter destruction. I will send the teeth of beast upon them, with the poison of serpents and dust. The sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also the man of gray hairs. My goodness. Won't you come? Anybody else want to come this morning? Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till this afternoon. Don't put it off. You can walk out of this house right now knowing you are born again. Come on, if you're tormented by doubt, get the doubt, get it settled. Get it finished. Get it taken care of. You don't have to do that. Preacher, does Jesus love me? Oh, yes, He loves you. He's the Savior of all men, the Bible said, especially those that believe. Does He love you? Of course He loves you. He loves you. Won't you do it? Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come? He said, come unto me. He gave those invitations. Come, He said. Oh, how many times did He say that? Come unto me. Come, come, come. Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come? Yeah, I know. Just gone.
Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, we thank you, God, for what you've done. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise. Oh, we thank you for that precious blood, the powers in the blood, the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, to draw all sinners, God, one way to Jesus. We're so thankful. We're blessed, God, because it's not the hard thing. Oh, we thank you for that blood there. God bless you.
Folks, I know Brittany's mother, and I know where she is. And the Lord was very quick when He took her. He just came and got her, and that's it. Now, what happened to her? Where'd she go? Is she no more? Does she not? Does she cease to exist? Is Mary Lou gone? Is that it? Never see her again? No. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. If Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain, that Bible said. You're yet in your sins.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Alexander got saved this morning. Hallelujah.
Yes, glory.
Amen, amen.
Whatever Jesus says for me to do, I'm ready to give it all up.
Amen.
Yes.
Holy Spirit has been all over me since.
Yeah.
He's been so good to me, and I'm so worthy. I follow him every day.
Bless him, Lord.
Thank you. Bless your name, Jesus.
Be a soldier the rest of these days.
Bless your holy name.
Bless your for me the rest of the breath in this body.
Amen.
Praise His holy name.
Amen, amen.
Yes, glory, glory, glory.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise His holy name.
Yes.